In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the biggest problems in the Christian church today, including our own Lutheran churches, is that we have painted a picture of Jesus for ourselves that simply does not match the description of Him given to us in Scripture. We have been guilty of creating Jesus in our own image, of making Him into someone He's not. Thus, we adorn our walls with pictures of the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus who wouldn't harm a fly. We like to see images of Jesus smiling and holding children. Our favorite songs about Jesus are, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." We love the "Footprints in the Sand" poem, because it makes us feel good to know that our good friend Jesus carries us about during the difficult times in life. In short, we have created for ourselves a huggable, good buddy, wouldn't harm a fly Jesus, because that's the kind of Jesus we want. That kind of Jesus makes us feel comfortable. That kind of Jesus warms our heart. But beware, O Christian, for the real Jesus is much different. He is not simply some invisible companion, some unseen friend who loves you and helps you out from time to time. He is not the happy, smiley face in the sky who stands ready to lavish you with earthly blessings if only you will approach Him with the right prayer formula, as if He's the heavenly ATM machine waiting for you to put in your secret code. No, my friends. Jesus, the real Jesus, is Lord. He is God eternal, Yahweh Himself in the flesh. He is holy, righteous, and just. He is the same jealous God who inscribed the Ten Commandments in stone and promised to punish everyone who fails to keep them. He is the same God who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, the same God who sent 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, the same God who ordered the Israelites under Joshua to wipe out the pagans living in the Promised Land. He is a jealous God, full of wrath and fury, and He demands that His holy law be kept fully and completely. He doesn't give points for doing your best. He doesn't excuse you for making mistakes from time to time. Either you keep His commandments fully and completely, or you die. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. This is the real Jesus, the Jesus we encounter in our gospel lesson this morning. He minces no words. He tells it how it is. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Do you feel like breaking into a rendition of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus"? I hope not. The only thing you should feel like singing after hearing those words of Jesus is the Kyrie Eleison, "Lord, have mercy." If that is not your response, then you weren't listening. For these words of Jesus leave no room for escape for any of us. He means what He says. If we have been guilty of even relaxing just one of His commandments, one of the least of His commandments, we are doomed. If we have ever coveted anything that wasn't ours, even if during just a moment of innocent daydreaming, we are doomed. And if you think I'm overstating the case, just listen to what Jesus says next. You think you have fulfilled the command not to murder? You haven't. If you have been angry with everyone, even if that anger was just in your heart, you are guilty of murder. You haven't committed adultery. If you have lusted after anyone at any time, even just in your heart, you are guilty of adultery. You think you have loved God with your whole heart. If you have ever put anything before God at any time, you are guilty of idolatry. This is Jesus talking, not some fiery prophet of old and not your crazed pastor hell-bent to deliver a fire and brimstone sermon in your presence. This is Jesus. He's harsh. He is not nice. And I doubt very seriously that He is smiling and hugging people as He's delivering this sermon. Jesus is very clear, O Christians. If your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never, that's right, never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's quite a statement. Whose righteousness could possibly exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees? They spent their lives in service to God. They studied the Scriptures daily. They didn't ever skip temple because they were too tired or because they had other things to do. They prayed many times a day. They strived to live their lives according to God's commandments and taught others to do the same. They took their religion seriously, very seriously. And yet Jesus preaches that their righteousness is not enough. Your righteousness better exceed theirs. Your righteousness better be perfect if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven is reserved only for those who obey God's commandments perfectly, only for those who love God with their whole hearts, always putting Him first in all time, at all times and in all things, only for those who love their neighbors as themselves, always putting the wants and needs of others before their own. So how do you stack up? Does your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees? Do you obey God's commandments perfectly? Do you always put God first? Do you always love your neighbor as yourself? Repent, for you yourselves know the answer to those questions all too well. You know that you have not obeyed God's commandments perfectly, not even close. In fact, truth be told, you are guilty of breaking all of the commandments of the law. Idolatry, blasphemy, laziness, rebellion, murder, adultery, stealing, lying, gossiping, and coveting. What's worse, you're under the delusion that even though you may not be perfect, you're not as bad as some people. You say, sure, I'll admit I have my faults, but I'm no Osama bin Laden or Charles Manson or Adolf Hitler. Repent. For to believe that is to truly miss the point. God is no respecter of persons, my friends. According to His holy law, you are no less a sinner and no better than the most ruthless criminals in history. Sin is sin. It is never petty, and it is never less bad than other sins in God's sight. That's the point Jesus is making in His sermon. Either you keep His law perfectly or you don't. There's no middle ground. And if you get that point, if the law Jesus preaches strikes you to the core, it will drop you to your knees and lead you to repent and cry out in anguish, Lord, have mercy. It is then that you'll realize that you need more than a huggable, good buddy, wouldn't harm a fly Jesus. You need a Savior. And that is exactly what you have in Jesus, my friends. He did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but He did come to fulfill them. He became man born of the flesh of the Virgin Mary to fulfill His holy law. Every single iota, every single dot of His holy law in your place. He lived the perfect, sinless, God-pleasing life you are required to live. He alone loved God with all His heart, and He alone loved His neighbors as Himself. For not only did He live the perfect life required of you, but He died the death you deserve for your sins on the cross. He sacrificed Himself in your place, suffering all the wrath of our Father in heaven, absorbing all of it into His body, that you may have forgiveness, life, and salvation. He died your death so that you could have His life. Having satisfied the law and fulfilled all righteousness, Jesus has given His life to you by uniting you to Himself in the sacrament of holy baptism. And because you have been united to Him, His holiness and righteousness are yours. The scribes and the Pharisees rejected Christ and trusted in their own self-righteousness. They failed to realize their sin and their need for a Savior. They thought they could earn God's favor on their own. They were wrong, dead wrong, but not so with you. You have been brought to faith in Christ. And now your righteousness, which was once nothing but filthy rags, far exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, for it is nothing less than the righteousness of Christ, which covers you like a pure and spotless robe, so that when the Father looks at you now, He sees the perfection of His Son. Rejoice in this awesome news, dear friends in Christ, for it means that you, yes you, sinful you, are saved and have entered the kingdom of heaven. And having been saved and having already entered the kingdom of heaven through faith in Christ, you can indeed joyfully sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus, and Jesus loves me, this I know." For Jesus is your friend, your only friend, at least your only true friend. And He does love you. And He extends His hand of friendship and His love to you, showing His love by inviting you into His holy house, that He might feed you with His holy word and with the very body and blood He sacrificed in your place for your sins. Come then to His table, not casually or nonchalantly as you would the table of a good buddy, but respectfully and reverently, recognizing that your friend Jesus is also your Lord and Savior. Come to the holy altar of your Lord and hear Jesus speak the words that only His righteousness, which is now yours, can fulfill. I forgive you all your sins. In His holy and precious name. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.